Our first reading is from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Our second reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord.
Well, good evening, everybody. I'm really glad you've tuned in for tonight's service. Let me pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, as we come to this fifth commandment this evening, we pray, please, would you teach us? Would you point us to Christ? And would you teach us how to live for him? We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, if you are good at writing and you want to make a load of money, one suggestion is that you write a book on parenting, how to be a good parent, how to look after children well. It is really big business. I looked at some titles just this week. How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk. That certainly grabs the attention, doesn't it? The Danish Way of Parenting is another title. I don't know what that looks like, but I'm interested. French Children Don't Throw Food. Maybe you've heard that title before. That is the number one bestseller, according to the Sunday Times. The Book You Wish Your Parents Had Read. That's a new one out just this year. Again, flying off the shelves in the bookshops. Just a few of the thousands of titles on parenting. But my guess is that if you're good at writing and you want to make a load of money, you're not going to write a book on being a good child or on treating parents well. I might be wrong, but my guess is you're just not going to sell many books. Because of course, in our culture, it's all about being a good parent. It's not really about being good to your parents. But in the Bible, the emphasis seems to be the other way around. There is a lot on parenting, a lot that we can learn from the Bible on it. But there seems to be loads on being a good child, whether that means whether you are young or old. Loads on how we treat our parents. And the fifth commandment is one such example. Not be kind to your son and daughter, though of course that is important, but honour your father and your mother. So four questions as we look at this fifth commandment this evening. Firstly, we're going to think about who are my parents? Secondly, what does it mean to honour them? Thirdly, why should I honour them? And then fourthly, well, what if I haven't honoured them? Those are our four questions for tonight. Firstly, who are my parents? Well, parents are God's local representatives over you. They are the primary people whom God has chosen to bless and teach and guide us. This week you may well have seen in the news that the government posted a job advert for a media spokesperson, someone who's going to represent the government to the nation on the TV, US-style press briefings, speaking on behalf of the government. Well, in one sense, that's a little bit like parents. They're not God, but they're chosen by God to represent God to us. They speak, instruct, parent, teach, guide as God's local representatives, God's family representatives. And that's why we're instructed to honour them. That word to honour, often used in reference to God, we honour God. Here it's used of parents because they're God's representatives to us. They represent God to us. That's who parents are. And just to state the negative, therefore, that means that parents aren't our peers. I think in the last few centuries, we've seen a real pendulum swing in terms of the parent-child relationship. The stereotypical old-school parent-child relationship from a few centuries ago was kind of strict and respectful. Yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. Maybe it lacked intimacy and affection. I don't know. That was perhaps a stereotype. but that's what it was like. In recent decades in the West, that pendulum, though, has swung right the way around here. So that relationship now is marked, it's marked by affection, and that's great, but it's not really marked by authority. I think here, given who parents are, we're called to redress that, to keep the affection, because affection is important, but to recover the difference between father and between parent and child, to recover the authority difference and the need for honouring and respect. You can have both. It doesn't need to be either or. So that's who parents are. They're God's representatives to us in the family unit. That means they're not our peers. And likewise, parents are not our slaves or servants, and we're not in charge of them. Of course, in later life, perhaps as a parent loses mental capacity or something like that, we might assume the power of attorney over them. And we might become their main decision maker for their good. But again, the default dynamic is that we're not their boss, but rather that they are in authority over us. They're above us, and so we are to honour them. That's who our parents are. Well, let's get into the detail. What does it look like? What does it mean to honour our parents? And I think the tricky thing with this question is that it looks different when it comes to different stages in our lives. So for the young child, it means, well, simple obedience. Maybe you're watching this and you're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, something like that. Well, for you, obeying God will look like obeying your parents, doing what they ask you, doing what they say. They say, eat your peas. Obeying God will look like eating your peas. You may not like peas. You might not understand why they're asking you to eat them. You might prefer chocolate. But obeying God will look like obeying your mum and your dad. They know better. And so we're to obey them. It's actually, and to encourage you, if that is how old you are, it is what Jesus did. Even though he's the Son of God, when he was your age, he obeyed his mum and dad. And he's the best. So copy him. For the young child, it means simple obedience. For the older child, perhaps still in the family home, this is still going to look like obedience, but that it might begin just to look a little bit different. Maybe you're a teenager. You've got a bit more freedom and responsibility. Maybe on some things you've actually got a bit of scope for discussion with your parents or your parent, and they say, look, you've got to do your homework. Maybe you say, well, look, what if I kind of played football now and did my homework later, and I will do my homework later. They might say, well, yeah, okay, play football now, do your homework later. In which case, you've got to make sure you do your homework later. Because you said you would, and you respect them by obeying them in that way. It's a bit different to how when you were younger, but nevertheless, it's still obedience. They might say, you might say, look, let me play football now, I'll do my homework later. They might say, no, actually, because that hasn't worked in the past, and we don't think it's going to work tonight. In that case, we don't say, ridiculous, there's a prison of a family. Obeying them looks like saying, well, look, Okay. It's not easy, but it's what we're called to do. We obey God by obeying our parents. What about for an adult child in that sense, having perhaps left home for good, become financially independent, whether or not that means getting married? Well, in that case, the relationship does change again, and that command moves from obeying and honouring them, that command moves to just honouring them. That requirement to obey drops out for the independent adult. And wise parents, of course, recognise that. But this change in the relationship, it is important, but it's not actually that drastic. It's a new chapter in the relationship. It's not a conclusion to the parent-child relationship. What does honouring look like, therefore? Well, if our parents are still around, it may not mean obedience if we're grown up, but it will certainly look like listening to them, wanting to hear their take on things, giving consideration to what they say, even if in the end, we make up our own decisions. A wise person will listen to advice, and parents are often well placed to give good advice. I don't know if you know this quotation from Mark Twain. Very clever. He says, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. When I got to be 21, I was astonished how much the old man had learned in 7 years." A very clever way of highlighting the tendency that we can have just to underestimate and undervalue our parents' opinions. And even parents who don't share our gospel worldview, even parents who make and have made mistakes, they do understand some things about how to get on in the world simply by virtue of being older than us. So at the very least, we do well to weigh up their advice and listen to it. Honouring our parents, likewise, will shape how we speak to them, if they're around still, and about them. Of course, it's not wrong to raise issues with our parents. It's not wrong to disclose difficulties and hurts from that relationship with someone else, in terms of the process of kind of dealing with that and coming to a place where we're willing to forgive. Not wrong to do that, but that is different from advertising their weaknesses and sins at every opportunity. You can picture the scenario, can't you? Someone says, "Look, I met your mother in the street the other day. She's lovely." And you say, "Well, until you have to live with her, yeah, sure, she's lovely." It's not honouring. And that's not I've got to be clear, that is not a personal anecdote. But it is just an observation of the kind of way that we can sometimes speak in Britain. Dishonouring others in a kind of socially acceptable way. Not tarnishing their reputation completely, but just bringing them down a notch in someone else's estimation. We're called to honour our parents, to speak of them positively, not to speak of them negatively. We don't have to correct people's high estimation of them. So it looks like how we speak to them and about them. Honouring our parents will look like appreciating them. It's very easy, isn't it, to take parents for granted, to underestimate the sacrifice that they made in bringing us up and since, to underestimate the financial cost, the emotional cost to them. So it will look like appreciating them. And I think it will also look like caring for them. In 1 Timothy 6, Paul makes out very, very clearly that there is an obligation on children, grown-up children, I suppose, to make sure that parents are financially looked after in old age. Many parents will have enough saved away, they won't need financial help, but it is the obligation of the grown-up children to make sure that they don't go hungry. We are to care for them, to repay them for the care that they have shown us. But of course, caring for parents, it means more than just financial help, the odd bank transfer every now and then. It means, I guess, being interested in them, being involved with their lives, visiting and calling and so on. I saw a wonderful example of this not too long ago in St Albans. A man pushing his elderly, frail mother, who was in a wheelchair, through town. And he wasn't begrudging. He wasn't checking his phone. He wasn't checking his watch, hoping to get home as soon as possible. There was real love there and energy and affection from him. Stopping to point things out to his mother, chatting to her, that's that building there and that's what happens in there. "Oh, are you warm enough, Mum? Would you like a coffee? Can we get you a blanket for your, would that help?" It was really just a lovely way of honouring her, full of respect and love and appreciation of her physical weakness and in gratitude for who she was to him. It was a lovely, inspiring, beautiful example of honouring a parent in old age, I thought. But what about the what ifs? What if our parents have behaved very, very badly? And that is sometimes the case, letting us down, perhaps mistreating us in any number of ways, and we don't feel that they deserve honour. Well, if that's the case for you, that no doubt will be very, very painful. And God is our loving Heavenly Father. He is the God of all comfort. He wants to comfort you. He wants to help you. He wants to be with you. He wants to mend and heal those wounds for you. Do we need to honour parents who are like that? Well, I think the command still stands, as hard as that is going to be. In those cases, we seek to honour parents, not because their behaviour deserves it, but really because of their position, because of who they are to us, because they are God's representatives to us, because they're our parents, even though they may have been badly behaved and not good to us. In terms of fuel to be able to honour a parent like that, I guess the only place we can go to is Christ's death on the cross, where he is treated shamefully and yet entrusts himself to God to judge justly and responds instead with grace and honour. What if parents put pressure on us not to live out the Christian life? Again, that can sometimes happen. Well, again, we are still to honour them. But as Matthew 10 makes clear, we've got to love Jesus more than we love our parents. He is to be our first allegiance. So in that case, we're gonna go against what they say, actually, even though we will seek to do that in an honouring way that still respects who they are. So that's what it looks like to honour our parents. Why should we honour them, thirdly? Well, there are loads and loads of good reasons to honour our parents. I'm just going to look at the two reasons given to us in our verses. Firstly, it's good for us. Secondly, it's just right. Firstly, it's good for us. We see this in Exodus 20. Honour your father and your mother. Why? The verse goes on, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. For Old Testament Israel, they were under the Mosaic Covenant. That basically meant that if, by and large, they obeyed God's commands, God promised to bless them with things like good harvests, peace from their enemies, permanence in the Promised Land. That was the agreement that they were in. And I think that's what we see something of here in this verse in Exodus 20. So that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, we're not in that agreement anymore. We're not under the Mosaic Covenant. And that means that even if we obey God and honour our parents, we're not guaranteed a long and easy life. The reward for our obedience comes rather in the next life. That said, I think that you may live long in the land, it isn't simply a promise for Old Testament Israel. It is also a statement of just how things tend to work in this world. Honouring our parents seems to have a positive ripple effect on all sorts of areas in life. As an illustration of this, think of exercise. Medical professionals are always extolling the multiple benefits of doing exercise. Go for your walk every day, they say. It won't just strengthen your legs and strengthen your heart muscle and so on. It will have a cascade effect on all sorts of areas. It'll lead to better sleep. It'll improve your mental health. It will give you perspective. It will help with self-discipline. It will help with your productivity. It'll help with your relationships. It will have a positive ripple effect on all sorts of areas in life. And honouring our parents It is like that. It has a positive ripple effect on all sorts of areas of life, helping us to do better at life generally. I mean, how does that work? Well, in honouring our parents, we learn to have respect growing up. We learn to have respect for our teachers, and that serves us well. And then teaches us to have respect for our employer and for those who are in authority, for those who are older than us in the church and in the community. It teaches us that we're not the most important person in the world, that we can't always get what we want. And those are the character traits that basically stops people from getting into trouble in life and basically serves them well so that they do well at life. So honouring our parents, it is foundational. It has a positive ripple effect on all sorts of areas of life. It is good for us. It will serve us well, whatever age we might be. So that's the first reason for honouring our parents. Second reason is given from Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. To honour our parents, quite simply, it is the right thing to do. Dishonouring them, it is the wrong thing to do. Honouring them is right. Our culture has a love-hate relationship with those words right and wrong. On the one hand, we hear people say, look, don't increase our taxes. That would just be wrong. It would be morally wrong. And yet on the other hand, we say, well, look, it's not about right or wrong. It's about what's right for me. Now, it's a position which is completely inconsistent, but that is often our culture's view on right and wrong, a love-hate relationship. But the Bible does not have a love-hate relationship with right and wrong. The Bible is very much in favour of right and wrong. It's where right and wrong come from, of course. Not everything falls into those two categories. But there is right and wrong. There is moral and immoral. And when it comes to honouring our parents, the Bible says it is simply the right thing to do, because it respects the moral order that God has written into his creation. So it is of benefit to us if we honour our parents. It is simply the right thing to do. But then finally, what if I haven't honoured my parents? Because of course, one of the ways that the law works is that it points us to Christ. You see, the reality is that none of us can say that we've obeyed and honoured our parents perfectly. We have all failed. Through our actions, through our attitudes, through our words. And it is serious. I hope we've seen that this evening. It is a rejection of God, given that God, that parents are God's representatives. It's interesting in Romans 1, how Paul, when he lists out all sorts of wicked people, he speaks about murderers and God-haters and those who invent ways of doing evil. And tucked into that list of people who do wicked things, he mentions those who disobey their parents. Now, for us, that feels right out of place. But it shows us just how serious it is to dishonour and disobey parents. We have all failed, and it is serious. And so we've got to be driven to Christ and driven to the gospel and to remember that there is always forgiveness available. Because, of course, we have a Father in heaven who loves us and who sent his Son to die for us. We have a brother in Christ who always honoured his Father perfectly, even though that meant giving up his life to death for us, to take our punishment for our failure so that we might be forgiven and go free. There is free and full forgiveness on offer if we would only turn to Christ in repentance and faith. And so with that in mind, let me pray for us together. Heavenly Father, we recognise the goodness of your word, the goodness of this command to honour our father and our mother. Heavenly Father, we pray, we recognise we've done wrong. Please forgive us. Please help us and change us, that we might be those who do what is right, who do what is best for us by honouring our parents. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing now of our Heavenly Father's great love for us in rescuing us. How deep the Father's love for us.
Ashamed, I hear.